Blog Talk Radio.
1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee.
They don't really love us, no. No.
They don't love us, no.
Hey. Better find new love because this world is cold. This world is cold.
This world is cold.
The truth they don't want us to know.
Want some wisdom, you can keep your gold. And I'd rather be broke than to sell my soul. Yeah, F your money, I don't need your dollars. Praises to the Father, and I'm yelling, Quam, Yasharala. No, I'm not a Muslim, I don't deal with Allah. Keep a sword with me, cut you up just like a barber. My people lost, we destroyed because we lacking knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, not that kind that you can get in college. We them children of the promise, a highest promise. The one that he made with our forefathers, Judah's alliance. What would tell me who shall rouse them, and we gon' rise up. That's why Esau wanna stop. But, hey,
they don't really love us, no. No,
they don't love us, no.
Hey. Better find new love because this world is cold. This world is cold.
This world is cold.
Hey. The truth they don't want us to know.
Now I see the truth. This world is so cold, man, they killing all you. Just turn on the news and you'll see the proof. They don't care about me, they don't care about you. They give us the guns, they tell us to shoot. They give us the drugs, they tell us to use. They tell us to sell them, they play us like fools. Deprive us of loot, so that's what we do. We gotta wake up, man, there's no time to snooze. Our power's the greatest, so we cannot lose. They try to degrade us, but they can't erase us out. God didn't make us to play by their rules. And that's why they hate us, they hate that they ain't us. And Satan can't make us get down with his crew. They lock us and chain us, they cuff us and slave us. But they'll never break us, we always break through. It's true, we the chosen people, our spirit golden, we royalty.
We royalty.
So we straight away, our Father kept us, that's loyalty.
That's loyalty.
When it's time for judgment, won't have attorneys, no lawyer fees.
No lawyer fees.
When it's time for judgment, it's gonna be destruction of our enemies. Yeah.
Cause they don't really love us, no. No.
They don't love us, no.
Hey. Better find new love because this world is cold. This world is cold.
Thank you.
Broadcasting you from the day after the Martin Luther King March, and we'd like to welcome everybody that might be tuning in. A lot of literature was passed out yesterday. We are broadcasting from the Brothers in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the ISBHBK, Albuquerque. As the brothers there in Albuquerque are trying to get things started and have been there for 3 years, working hard, building. Trying to get things off the ground there, want to get another school established there also. And they're trying to continue on with the work of the Most High, with the wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Most High. As we all work to try and get Israel and try and please our Father, please the Lord and Savior, that the Most High might send his Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when the world calls Jesus Christ, who we understand to be Yahweh Shai in the ancient Hebrew. Other brothers that we met yesterday might call him Yeshua. You might call him Yahuwah or what have you. But we're all waiting for the Savior and the salvation of the nation of Israel. Excuse me. So-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and the so-called Mexicans. And what we do is... every Tuesday and Thursday, we do have this blog talk format, the blog talk radio show that we produce every Tuesday and Thursday. And it's produced from the school that we have established in Albuquerque to go ahead and, again, help awaken, help unite, help exhort. If you logged on to the computer, you'll see that today's class is called The Great Eight. But the scriptures I put up as a reminder for today is exhort. And to exhort is to deliver exhortation or arguments to incite to good deeds. And that's what we want to do. We want to incite Israel, incite our people to do the good deeds of the Most High. Good deeds is what it means to be Hebrew Israelites. That it's time for us to really get back on top of what does it take to please the Most High. We'll take to repent so that now the Most High will send us, as we gather together, he'll send the Savior, and we can celebrate the new Passover, the one that's recorded in Ezekiel, the one recorded in Jeremiah, where it said that it shall no longer be said that the Lord saved the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but that the Lord saved the children of Israel from the land of the north. And as we're here in North America, undergoing one of the greatest deportation, one of the greatest slavery captivities that we as a nation have ever been in, our captivity here in America, that yes, we're all waiting for the return for the salvation of the children of Israel. That's going to outshine anything that was ever done on the planet Earth before. That was going to outshine, again, the marvels of great Egypt that to this day we're still referring to what happened to Egypt, from the building of the great pyramids to if we look and see the locusts, as we look and see locusts that just hit Mecca, as we look and see the water being turned to blood, as we look and we're witnesses to the famines, to the earthquakes, to the volcanoes, to all the natural disasters that are taking place, that's going to be, this is still going to fail in comparison to the salvation that the Most High is going to bring the children of Israel coming out of Great Babylon, coming out of spiritual Egypt, coming out of this spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah, coming out of America, that for the Egyptian army to pursue us and do the things they did to us back in ancient Egypt and trying to keep and uphold our captivity. And the Most High actually had to swallow up the Egyptians after the 3 days of darkness, after the death angel passed over the house of the Israelites and only consumed the firstborn of all the Egyptians, whether it was the firstborn man or firstborn of beast. Lassie was your firstborn dog. Lassie died, and Lassie's firstborn died. If it was Benji, if it was Cujo, the firstborn of all cattle, firstborn of all animals, the firstborn of everything, the Most High put to death. Even after all that, the Most High came back and consumed the Egyptian army, which was the greatest military might at the time, consumed them in the Red Sea. And we know, and consuming them in the Red Sea, that, again, you have archaeological digs where they've actually gone and found chariot wheels. They've actually found chariot wheels in the bottom of the ocean, in the bottom of the Red Sea. That these events did happen, and we're waiting now for the salvation, for how the Most High will take out the most powerful military in the world today. How he's going to take out from those who have the nukes, have bombs called the Moab, have not only nuclear explosives, but have all types of just other ordnance at their disposal, and that didn't even explosive ordnance, that they have sound weapons, they have sonar weapons, they have sonic weapons, they have light weapons, chemical warfare apparatuses that they have, as far as vomiting agents, as far as nerve agents, as far as biological agents, that from avian flu being a weapon, to syphilis being a weapon, to smallpox, chickenpox, whatever being weapons at their disposal, that for everything they have for their technology, that the salvation that the Lord is going to bring is going to so far outshadow all of those things that, again, it will never be mentioned again how we came out of ancient Egypt, but how the Lord delivered the children of Israel from the land of the north. With that being said, for all the Israelite groups that we had a chance to say shalom to and be around yesterday at the Martin Luther King March, not for Martin Luther King, but for Israelites to really come together and really be at peace. That it wasn't a gang rally. It wasn't as they had snipers on top of the YMCA, the David Scott YMCA building, to make sure nothing popped off. They had three police helicopters flying overhead, and the police presence was very strong yesterday. That it wasn't on something like we're gonna be out there gang banging, and because we were in the purple and gold, or wearing the maroon and gold, or wearing the cream and maroon that we was wearing, or what have you. Then now something's gonna be crazy pop off. That you was able to have basically four Israelite camps, four Israelite groups. GOCC was even out there, and it was very peaceful. It wasn't like a thing of what we might see on YouTube, which we've seen before, camp banging. Or what have you, but it was every camp was just doing their thing, to where the brothers from Albuquerque, not Albuquerque, I'm sorry, the brothers from Houston that came down, ISBHBK Houston, as well as the brothers from ISBHBK San Antonio, ran to the Hebrew Israelite group coming out of South Central LA, from Lamar Park, as a matter of fact, that called True Nation, and it turns out that these brothers of True Nation, that their elder, for lack of a better term, that their elder was one of the first brothers that the brother Ariala, our teacher, that the first brother he actually taught in Los Angeles, that wound up bringing Kawakab and Zion to their first classes. His name, his Hebrew name is Rayashiat, meaning start or beginning. That he was actually the elder of this camp coming out of South Central, called True Nation. So their roots going back to, we was all united. We was all connected. It was a very beautiful thing. that we all did connect, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But as I was saying, at the we have schools located in San Antonio, Albuquerque, and also Houston. As I pull that up, pull the class schedule up, as I'm looking for it right here. Yeah, we have from Albuquerque. We do broadcast the Block Talk show here, and again, it's called ISB HBK, Square Tree Presents Bible Talk, where we like to go ahead and put the show on every morning to exhort people. You know, give you a little that little morning cup of coffee, a little morning cup of joy, cup of Joe, the little morning cup of inspiration, the little morning cup of reminders, even that as we're as the spirits are being unleashed upon America, as Satan is releasing his spiritual demons to consume our minds, to create distractions, to get us caught up in many different things, that we like to put our morning show out to try and give you that anchor, if you will, to try and help you give you that reminder, as well, again, as that exhortation to go through your day and remember that what we're fighting for. Remember that all this is coming to an end very soon. And we, true enough, as the Lord and Savior did say, that he himself doesn't know exactly when he's coming back, that only the Father, the Creator, the Almighty knows, but that we as pilgrims, we as evangelists, as we as exiles are waiting to go home, waiting to get to go home to our kingdom, to our paradise, to our heaven, to our rulership. Where we won't have to suffer any of the ills and atrocities and the crimes that have been committed against us so easily and unjustly here in America, that we can finally have a place of our own that the Most High is going to bring with him, or excuse me, Yahweh Shai is going to bring with him when he does come to deliver. All right. So with that, again, coming out of Albuquerque, we have the Blog Talk Radio Show that we do every Tuesday and Thursday. From Albuquerque time is 8:30 in the morning. You know, today we push back a little bit, but we usually start at 8:30 in the morning, from 8:30 till let's go about 10:30 from Albuquerque time. That's Mountain Standard Time. That's every Tuesday and Thursday, and then every Saturday at the Downtown Public Library. We've been doing this for going on 3 years now, at 501 Copper Northwest, which is the main library, the main downtown public library, downtown. Between on 5th, between Central and Copper, is the library. You can't miss it. We're there every Saturday for the Sabbath in classroom number 2. And we like to try and get that started every Sabbath from 10:30 in the morning till it goes to 2 to whenever. All right, we invite you to come check us out. We've been doing that again for the past 3 years, going on 3 years, in college room number 2. You can't miss us, but if you get there to the library, just ask where the Israelites at, and any and everybody will point us out. We've had that room every Saturday for going on the past 3 years. So we invite you to come and join the brothers there, join the families there every Saturday at the Downtown Public Library, classroom number 2. Again, we've been doing that for the past going on 3 years. Everybody's more than welcome and invited to come by, break bread. What we do the Torah readings every Saturday there, where we go through the Torah. And try to keep in touch with other Israelite groups that instead of getting caught up in the differences of doctrine, instead of getting caught up in differences of just finding ways to divide, that, well, let's just go through the Torah. All right? That's the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah, the commandments, the laws. And let's just go through that. All right? Let's read that, and that's something we can agree upon. And these are the seeds that can be planted where we can work to build on. These are seeds that we can be planted. I'm getting texts. I'm just not sure what they mean right now. But we have seeds that can be planted where we can have what we can grow upon. Right? That we know that coming out of a 400-year captivity, 400-year oppression, 400 years of being force-fed lies, philosophies, doctrine, beliefs, and everything from the so-called white man's perspective, from Caucasian perspective, there's going to be a lot of things that at first, let's be honest, that we're not going to unify on, that we've been taught. We've been given 400 years of the Willie Lynch. We've had 400 years Stockholm Syndrome. We've had 400 years of PTSD. So a lot of things that are going to be said and done is going to work at our unity. It's going to work at us coming together. It's going to work to try and keep some type of division, some type of divide, some type of wall, some type of barrier from us coming together. Because one thing our enemies truly know is that if we stay divided, they win. No matter what, at all costs, whatever it takes to keep us divided, they win. That's understood. And that's one thing that you, when you back and read the history of the Hebrew Israelites, for any captivity we're in, we went into captivity because we weren't united. That's first off. Now, we went into captivity because we weren't united. Then we would get in captivity, and then it says we would rethink ourselves. We get our minds back right. And we come back together, we confess to the Most High what we've done, we repent to the Most High what we've done, and then the Most High would always send a Savior to come deliver us from the various captivities that we've been in. Well, as we come back now this time, we know that our enemies know that this is the last captivity prophesied in the Bible, that there is no other captivities prophesied after this. This is it. This is the final one. It's the last one, the last straw. That's it. That this is the last one. So as our enemies understand this, there have been many psychological bombs, many mental, spiritual, emotional IEDs that have been placed, so that as we come across these things, if we try to come together, whatever, that there's a reminder for us to blow up. There's a reminder for us to divide. There's a reminder for us to separate. There's a reminder for us to not unite, as opposed to knowing that, remembering that scripture says that when I would do good, he was present with me. That as the good that we keep finding and gathering together and working together and overcoming, that there's going to be things set up so that the good, the positive, the good that's happening might not be focused on. That the good, the positive, the building that's taking place, that now something ugly happens, to take away the focus of the good that's going on, and now we're going to focus on the negative. Now we're going to focus on the bad things or what have you, as opposed to now let's keep finding those good things, those pure things, to the pure, all things are pure, to keep building on. And this is what we want to keep working on. So, again, ISBHBK Albuquerque, every Tuesday and Thursday and Saturdays, you're more invited to join in. And remember, the phone number for the blog talk number, or the blog talk radio show that we do, is area code 646-668-2568. Again, that's area code 646-668-2568. And you're more invited to please. We ask everybody, we do a little extra long music intro. And that's to give people time to go ahead and as you see the show is starting, we give the extra time with the musical intro. So that you might, if you need to go ahead and text anybody, let them know the show has started, that they have time. You have time now to go ahead and text the numbers out and let them know the show has started, that anybody can go ahead and call in. And that's why we do that. Usually I do start with Back to Life, that old school song, because that's what we're trying to get back to. Right? We're trying to get back to that life, back to where we once belong. I know that song was really originally sung. She was referring to a relationship getting back together, but I'm just borrowing that for the relationship for Israel. Back to life and back together with the Most High. That Ezekiel chapter 37 refers to us as the valley of dry bones, that we've been dead, that there is no zombies, there is no return of the dead, walking dead, Shaun of the Dead, or what have you. But the ones who've been dead have been us as Israelites. We've been dead to our life as Israelites. We've been dead to our life as God's chosen people. We've been dead to our life as being the princes, the kings, the governors, the rulers, the sons of God on the earth. We've been dead to that. And now it's time for us to come back to our life. Come back to who we are. Come back to that good place and times. And then I'm also just added the music intro, Shema Yasha'Allah, which is giving the original Hebrew salute. Shema Yasha'Allah, Yahweh Alahayanawa, Yahweh Achad, was the original Hebrew salute when you go back and read the scriptures that we saluted and greet each other with. And what it's saying is, listen, Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. That all the Most High is about the unity of the children of Israel, for us to unite in truth, for us to unite in righteousness, for us to unite under the right spirit, the right things. So those are the musical intros that we do, again, for our show. ISBHPK, Swear the Truth, Albuquerque, Blog Talk. We invite you again, 646-668-2568. Our school also in Houston is located at 8524 South Brazil Boulevard. That's 8524 South Brazil Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 1. If you're in the Houston area, anywhere within the Houston area, we invite you to join them every Monday and Wednesday from the hours of 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. They have a class that they do every Monday and Wednesday from 7 to 9. And then on Fridays from 6 to 9, they have a Sabbath class. All right? We invite you to join them and break bread with them. And they also have a Sabbath class they do every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to about 2, 3, 4. You know, matters out how the reading goes. And then they also do a public street speaking, public evangelizing out there in the street corners of Houston. Usually it is Braeswood and I forget the name of it, but it's right down the street from the school where you got actually go in and they have a public evangelist or public street speaking that they put on every Saturday also. You join them. If you can't join them live, actually going to class, you can go to the YouTube channel, ISBHPK Live. You can go to the YouTube channel, ISBHPK Live, or ISBHPK, which is up and running again, or 5 Minutes of Wisdom, all right? All YouTube channels. Whenever there's a class on, we invite you to go to, link, share, subscribe. Don't forget to hit the little bell as a reminder, because you might be given whenever there's a live notification, whenever the notification that a new show is up, a new class is up, that you might be notified. So hit the like, share, and subscribe button, and you'll be notified of when they have a new class on YouTube. You can check them out. On Sundays, they have a class they put out for kids. It's called ISBHPK Kids, ISBHPK Kids, and that's a YouTube channel. You check them out between the hours of 2 and 3, the hours have changed. It was between 12 and 1, but now it's between the hours of 2 and 3, and those classes are tailored specifically for elementary school and middle school age kids. All right, where you actually get a chance to see the kids in class, going over scriptures, going over different academic projects centered around the scriptures, centered around the Bible, and it's really a good thing to see. And the sisters lead that one, which is an amazing, beautiful thing. The sisters have actually came together and put curriculums together that they teach the children. And that's headed up by the sisters. So we invite you to check that out, ISBHPK Kids, every Sunday from 12 to 3. And again, all these times I'm giving now are for Central Standard Time or for Texas time. All right? Let me see here. If you're in the Houston area, also, you can check them out on Comcast cable channel number 17. All right? Comcast. Cable channel number 17, or go to hmstv.org starting at 7:30, where they have a live, believe it or not, public access. It's still alive and going in Houston, whereas it's been shut down around the rest of the country. It's a public access TV show they put on for an hour, starting at 7:30. And if you'd like to watch it, again, you can log on to hmstv.org and watch the show stream live on your computer. Or if you're in the Houston area, again, it's Comcast cable channel number 17. Y'all can check them out. You can also reach them through the email, isbhbk@isbhbk.org. As we get ready to have the Passover coming April 21st, which is going to be located where we're going to hold in Houston. If you'd like to help donate for that, as far as getting the building or getting the lamb or getting any of the things that's needed to put on a nice Passover. You know, they usually get a live band, live jazz band. So there's nice, just, you know, good vibe music, good instrumental music. So we're not really sort of getting caught up into the secular music or whatever, but just having just a nice vibe. It's catered to where, you know, for our Passover, you know, and we try and get white Edomite caterers so that they can serve us during the Passover, not our own people. And that the sisters can now enjoy the Passover as well as the brothers and everybody else that does join, that then they have to be caught up in serving and taking care of plates and what have you, that is catered. So if you'd like to help donate to that cause, or for any of the causes we have going on, was any of the rents at the schools, any of the outreach ministries that we have. There's a Wells Fargo account that's been established, and the Wells Fargo account is 101-5806-167. I'm going to read that one more time. They have a Wells Fargo account that's been established at 101-5806-167, where any donations, alms, vows, priest funds you like might be able to like to help out with the work that's going on, we invite you to go to Wells Fargo, and you can deposit any monies there at the account there. If you have Google Wallet, or what they call now Google Pay, I guess, you can link up with them at isbhpk@gmail.com. And the nice thing I like about that is, well, me and my family first used it before, is that you get a receipt. You get a receipt of what you've sent. They get a receipt of what you sent. That's where they go ahead and keep records, so that there's no, not that there's any funny business anywhere, but it's a way of just keeping tight of all transactions or whatever. That's Google Wallet, isbhpk@gmail.com. You can reach out to them on that, as well as Wells Fargo. Then they have businesses located in the malls in Houston, at First Colony Mall, located in Sugar Land, Texas, and also at Baybrook Mall, located in Houston, Texas. We invite you to go to any one of the locations to get your latest in aromatherapies, essential oils, or bath and body and home fragrances. We invite you to go check them out in First Colony Mall or Baybrook Mall, American Eastern Oils. Okay. With that being said, also in San Antonio, Texas, where we have a school located that we've been working with for the past, since 90, at least 95. We have a school located at 4219 Centergate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, where the brothers and sisters and the families have classes there from Tuesday through Thursday from 7 to 10, and then on Fridays from 8 to 11. We invite you to join them, break bread with them, as on Tuesdays and Fridays, especially Friday night, you have the brother Kawakab, who's broadcasting a Skype class live from Guatemala. As he's doing his outreach evangelical services from Guatemala, as he reaches back to keep his English classes going, English shows going, that he actually does broadcast straight to the school here in San Antonio, where you might catch his shows, catch his classes. Wonderful, marvelous. This is great. If you've ever been to Kawakab's class, you know his how practical he is, how concise he is, how clear he is. It can't be measured. It can't be measured. So we invite you to go by the school, check them out. They also have a business established at Inger Park Mall, South Park Mall, and Rolling Globes Mall. And their businesses are called Egyptian Treasures. So if you'd like to go by and support the school or anything we have going on, or you need to just get up on your latest fragrances, again, from aromatherapy to fragrance to the latest in cologne oils or perfumes, we invite you to go to Egyptian Treasures. Again, located in Inger Park Mall, South Park Mall, or Rolling Oaks Mall. They also have a movie company they've established in San Antonio, which is really starting to get some steam going. Bonded and short, all right? It's called On the Mark Movie, all right? On the Mark Movie. And you can go to reach them on the onthemarkmovie.com. They have a webpage set up. So if you'd like to set up a schedule, pickup or delivery, you can do all that right there on the website. And if you need packing supplies, from boxes to packing paper to you name it, you can get all that there at onthemarkmovie.com. And if you need somebody to help you come pack as well as move, on the website there, they have a category set aside where you can go ahead and get that established for yourself also to assist you with your moves and stuff. Onthemarkmovie.com, we invite you to go check them out. Or go to the Facebook channel, On the Mark Moving, Facebook, and take care of whatever needs you have going on. All right. And then between now and the Passover, if you'd like to help the brothers get to the Passover in Albuquerque, as we're trying to establish, keep things established, keep things moving and rolling. If you'd like to go visit them at Cottonwood Mall at the down escalator there in Cottonwood Mall. Part of the proceeds from there are going to help with the Passover in Houston. So you'd like to go by there and help out, and you see some see some of the brothers you've been familiar with as they've been putting in work there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We want you to go by there and check them out and help us go ahead now, get things rebuilt, get things established, get things, keep things pushing there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We invite you to come check us out there at Cottonwood Mall. All right. So with that, as I've got all those announcements out the way, I believe I'm joined by the brother Ahmad Gamar and Gabar. Let me check the switchboard. We got a long list of brothers and sisters. All right, shalom, everybody.
Shalom. Do you have my mic on?
Yes, sir. Your mic is on.
Okay.
Go ahead and introduce yourself and whoever there you might be there with you.
I'm Ahmad, Brother Ahmad from Bon Ahmad Gadol from Albuquerque, and in Albuquerque here at the brother's house. I'm the only one sitting at this table. Whoever else joined in at different locations, but I'm the only one sitting in this table at this particular table at what we call the brother's house. If anybody else is joined in, chime in. Shalom, everybody.
Con, Gamar. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. You've been joined right now by the brother Gamar Ya'alas.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all feeling? How y'all doing? How y'all living? How y'all eating? How y'all sleeping? How y'all dreaming? Well, not really dreaming, but beware dreamer of dreams. I'm playing. But good morning, everybody. Hope you have a great Tuesday. Hope it's a rather fine day for y'all. And with what we have prepared today for this little Tuesday tidbit, has been called the Great Eight. It was called the Great Eight for a reason, due to a certain exercise that I'm sure that has been mentioned before in other blog talks. The purpose of we've been doing this today would be, one, to show an exercise, and also, two, to sit there and let people understand that with a simple exercise of getting 8 scriptures a day for 8 hours throughout the day, 1 scripture on the top of every single hour, to fight your thoughts and learn how to use the scriptures to combat yourself. So please, by all means, as we sit here and we go through these scriptures that brothers have accumulated the past times, please understand that the brothers that are presenting you these scriptures are things that have helped them fight their thought process. And as the scripture says, bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So, as is commanded within First and Second Corinthians. Yeah. The 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, if I'm not mistaken. And by all means, we do encourage y'all to do the same, to sit there and at least get 8 scriptures to enter your thoughts. And as we do go through this this little Tuesday tidbit of the Great Eight, I'm also going to sit here and explain to y'all the process, too. But again, before we take off into this little venture, it's just something I want to add to the little intro of all things. You know what I'm saying? But who else is on the line?
Right now, it's me, you, and Ahmad.
I'm okay, still here. Cool.
That's what I got to say. I'm upstairs, by the way. That way there's no interference between the mics and no crazy switchboard and whatnot.
Okay.
I'm saying. So that's what I got to add. Anybody else add anything else or not?
Like you're saying, one thing that we do, part of the routines and part of the disciplines that we've tried to establish there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is what we call the Great Eight. And again, as the brother just explained, the grade eight is starting every hour around 12. All right, that's when you really get settled into to the rut of the day, the grind of the day. That we try to take maybe 5-10 minutes out of our time. It's just 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes and just kind of evaluate, just kind of look at, just kind of examine what kind of thoughts you've been having, what kind of things, what kind of emotions, what kind of feelings do you have going on, and then find a scripture that might help deal with and combat what those feelings are. Well, if you have feelings of impatience, then go get a scripture that's dealing with patience. If you don't have a slothfulness, then go and get a scripture that's combating the spirit of slothfulness. If it might be a spirit of lust, then go and find that scripture that's dealing that's going to get your mind off of lust and whatever it might be. And just take that little 5 minutes once an hour. We pretty much say at 12 noon, but you might not be able to do it then if it's 12:30 or 12:45 or 12:20 or what have you, 12:07. Cool. But you want to try and get in the habit of once every hour getting a scripture that helps combat your thoughts. All right. That we want to make sure that we're still anchored, we're still tethered, we're still connected as we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the day, as we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, as we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of whatever's going on, that we might be able to still keep that tether. Still keep that string, still keep that connection with the Most High, because we know that this society and this world is designed to have us forget and let go of our tether, of our anchor, of what keeps us rooted, what keeps us grounded as Hebrew Israelites in this society, in this world. So one thing that the brothers do is once every hour, like was mentioned, come up with a scripture. But the scripture is going to come from what kind of thoughts in that past hour have you been fighting? What kind of feelings have you been fighting and dealing with? And putting to application 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. All right, cool. Well, then let me take an hour, or once every hour, not for the whole hour. Once every hour, let me stop for a second and let me see. Let me examine myself. Where are my thoughts? What am I thinking? Which way are these spirits, are these emotions, are these influences, which way they're trying to pull me, direct me? Let me take a minute to consider these things, and then let me get, again, that time, that second, to tether, to tie off, to connect, so I'm not getting too influenced or swayed, that I might be able to still keep my mind sober through everything that it is that we might have in the face or go through. And what the brother's going to do for this class is give you a little sneak peek, if you will, an inside view, a private, almost more of a private conversation that they have with themselves in the Most High, and some of the things that they do and help keeping themselves strong throughout the day, as really the epitome of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Then verse 64, or 34 of Matthew 6, 34 reminds us, it says that sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Think not about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. That sometimes we get so overwhelmed with thinking so far ahead. Well, this might happen, that might happen. And we get so caught up in that cycle of things that we don't just, you know what, let me just take care of the thing in front of me right now. Let me slow down everything. And you know what, let me just handle the thing that's in front of me right now. Let me get past this next hour. And let me get past that hour. Then let me get past that hour. Then next thing you know, you look up, you done made it through the day. Then we come to tomorrow. And now tomorrow, let me go ahead and deal with those things. As opposed to, I'm in today being Tuesday, and now I've already got Tuesday problems, but now I'm piling Tuesday's problems with Wednesday's problems, with Thursday's problems, with a year from now's problems, with 2 years from now's problems, with 3 years from now's problems. Any person would go crazy in a situation like that. any person would feel quite overwhelmed facing those odds. So let's go ahead, as we go through our day, let's just take an hour. In an hour, let's take 5 minutes. In an hour, let's take 2 minutes to just go ahead now, reflect, see where my head is at, and go ahead and get a scripture that might be dealing with that. That so that we, again, might keep our head straight with what it is we have going on. So with that, brothers, please take it away.
Okay. This is Ahmad, Brother Ahmad. As you pointed out earlier, the scriptures do tell you, the scriptures do instruct us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. I want to go ahead and pull that one really fast. Glad you brought that up. I want to pull that because that's an important point to consider as we go in, as we go in into ourselves and examine ourselves and really, you know, check ourselves and see what corrections need to be made in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. Like, are we, you know, doing things His way? So with that, I want to go ahead and grab that one. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And I'll read that. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 in the New Testament. And it says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This is how you should be going about, you know, in the eyes of the Father. If you're trying to please the Father, you call yourself serving the Heavenly Father, you call yourself in the faith and representing Christ in the way, you know, the personal representation that you should be. This is one of the things that's required. Go into yourself and correct those things that are off. You know, correct those things and make sure you're doing it the right way. So it says, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And make sure that you're doing this the right way. Make sure you're doing it the way the Heavenly Father prefers it be done, by using the scriptures, by using His word, by using the correction, His standard. It says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So, I mean, it's a really insightful question, something to really ponder and think deeply upon. Like, am I doing this the right way in the eyes of the Father, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father? Am I doing it according to scriptures? The scriptures is the standard that we should all be measuring ourselves to, because it's the word of God. It's the instructions of the Most High. And with that, I also wanted to grab another little introductory thing that, you know, from what I just mentioned. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if I can get that one real quick as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, going with scripture I just pulled and what I was just bringing out. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, just a few books away from where we were in the New Testament. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration, profitable meaning good for you, beneficial. So the scriptures are beneficial for anybody that's trying to do things in God's righteousness, trying to change, make the changes and take on this mind, take on this mindset, take on God's way of doing things. It says it's profitable, meaning beneficial, it's good for you, it's going to bring about prosperity and success. And that's another scripture. But it says profitable for doctrine. What is it profitable for? First of all, doctrine, meaning the right way of doing things, the right method, the right methods to use, okay? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So when you find yourself wandering off the path of righteousness, this is how you get yourself back on point. Like the last scripture we pulled said, examine yourselves. So we use the scriptures to do that. because it's God's standard. He's the creator. We should be following his standard, his way of doing things. Who would have things better figured out than the creator himself, than the Almighty? So correction, these scriptures are good for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We continue on in the scripture, for instruction in righteousness. These are the instructions. This is what we should be living our lives by. If we want to be successful and prosperous, we do it the way God tells us to do it. We do it right in his eyes. We do it in the right in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, and not try to seek our own way of doing things, as we don't have things figured out. Okay? It says, verse 17, if I just continue on there, the last verse here says that the man of God may be perfect. So there is a such thing as achieving perfection. Because the excuse is, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know, we're all born making mistakes. And so we just, okay, so you settle for that. You don't strive to achieve perfection. In that mindset, you just settle. It's good enough. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I'm human. I make mistakes. So do you. None of us are perfect. So don't judge me. That's just a poor excuse to not even put forth any effort to live right and do what's right in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. Let's just settle. But no, there is a such thing as being a perfect man. It is achievable according to what we're reading here. I'll read it again. Verse 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect. And it goes on to say thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These scriptures contain everything you need to be successful and to be perfect in God's eyes, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything, all the information you need, everything you need to stay on the right path, to do right in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, to achieve perfection. And to earn your salvation. But I just wanted to use that as an introductory. And I'll go ahead and share my grade 8. This example of what we should all be doing. A good exercise, rather, as far as examining yourselves, that first scripture I pulled. When it's talking about examining yourselves, that's what this grade 8 exercise is really about. So I'll go ahead and get started with mine. Again, this is a good example for those of y'all listening on how to examine yourself. Like, what are you doing? You know, check yourself. Are you doing right in the eyes of the Heavenly Father? And what scriptures can you use to combat the things where you're off at, where you've wandered out of the way of righteousness, where you've wandered off the path? And the first scripture I pulled here, and again, we call this the grade 8, which means we each day we pull 8 scriptures to combat the negative or us wandering off the path, the things that we examine about ourselves that we know is not right in the eyes of the Father, to correct ourselves. We attack ourselves with the right things so that we may examine ourselves and correct those things using the scriptures, correct those things within ourselves using the scriptures. So the first scripture I have, again, bear with me for a second. Yeah, okay, I got it here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And the reason I pull these scriptures, first of all, that I'm going to read as for my grade 8 scriptures. The first one I pulled, and all of mine are based on being a better husband, a better father, and dealing with my family according to God's standards, how a husband and a father should deal with his wife and children. Okay? So, and the responsibilities of a husband And I've lacked those things, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. But this is an exercise that I'll use to meditate on these scriptures and ponder on and combat those thoughts that make me want, you know, not want to do my job to the best of my ability as a husband and a father, as the head of my household. So the first scripture I pulled to combat being a lackadaisical father and a husband and not being the head that I'm supposed to be in the eyes of God is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, just a book back from where we just were, 2 Timothy. We're going back to 1 Timothy. And again, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But if a man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So I'm going to look up that word infidel before we go any further, just to kind of go deeper into and just examine, because that's not really a word we use in everyday English. So there may be those of you that are not clear on what that means. So I'm just going to pull the Google definition, if you will, is the quickest thing I can grab. It says a person who does not believe in religion or who adheres to a religion other than one's own. So you're basically looking for a different way to do something, according to this definition. I don't know if that's really just going out of the way of what you know is right, trying to go around it, trying to find an easier way to do it, from what I'm getting from that definition. A person who has no concrete moral beliefs, or wandering out of the way of his beliefs. So in God's eyes, it says, this person, I'll read this scripture again, says that person is worse than an infidel. So again, if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So you've denied God's way of doing things if you don't provide for your own household. This doesn't have to be talking about just financially. This could also be talking about feeding their spirits, dealing with their minds, dealing with you know, teaching them. You haven't been providing, and I'm guilty of this. This is why I pull this scripture. I've been guilty of this. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I just know what I need to do. It's not too late, but I know what I need to do to correct these things, you know, at least now, going to the scriptures, being able to combat these thoughts of, you know, just wanting to be lazy and be wrapped up and caught up in myself and do my own thing. You know, provide for your family. You forgot you had a wife and kids. You're supposed to be teaching them. You're responsible. If you're the head of your household, if you're the man of your house, you have a responsibility to your family, because they're looking to you, because they don't know the way. They look to you for the answers. You're supposed to be the one with, if you're the head of your household, you're supposed to be the one with the answers. Okay, I'll pull my second scripture concerning that. It's Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 7, verse 23 and verse 26. I'll read verse 23 first. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 7, verse 23. It says, "Hast thou children? Instruct them, and bow down their neck from their youth." Okay, so I have children. So have I instructed them? Not always, here and there, but didn't stay on top of them like I should have. Let other thoughts and other concerns get in the way. So this is one of those good reminders for myself. You know, instruct them. You have a responsibility to your own children. Says, "Hast thou children?" I do. Instruct them. God says to teach your children. deal with your children according to God's knowledge, according to the scriptures. Teach them the right way of doing things. Because one day they're going to have children. And whatever you've given them, whatever you've poured into them, that's what you want them to pour into their children. And you want them operating in a righteous fashion. You don't want them getting caught up in this world and God forbid, lose one or more of them. So you instruct them. It goes on to say, and bow down their neck from their youth. So, meaning humble them, deal with them from when they're really small. So instruct them and bow down their neck from their youth. Make them, teach them respect. Respect for their elders. Okay. And now I'm going to jump down to verse 26. It says, hast thou a wife after thy mind? Forsake her not. So I have a wife. And there has been lots of times I feel like I've forsaken her. Not that I feel, but I actually have. So here's a scripture that, reminds me, you have a responsibility to her as well. Not just your children, but if you have a wife, you have a responsibility to her as well. You're supposed to teach her. You're supposed to deal with her. You're not supposed to forsake her or act like as if she's just something on the side that's just supposed to help you out or whatever. But how does she know the ways of righteousness if you don't teach her? If you don't deal with her according to the scriptures? When it says forsake her not, meaning deal with her, teach her, show her, spend that time with her, spend that time with your children and with your wife, don't just be a deadbeat wanting to sit up on the couch and flip the channels, there's time being wasted. Also, the scriptures say, idleness teaches much evil. And that's what ends up happening. You forsake your wife and children, you're teaching them an evil lesson against yourself, and you're going to pay for it in the end. But anyway, next scripture I want to pull is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. And again, this is for myself. These are things that my grade 8 that I'm using to attack some of the things within me where I have lacked specifically as the head of my household. And these are the things that correct me and remind me to, on what I'm supposed to be doing, what I need to do to get back on point, to please the Heavenly Father and to get my family back in order. So I pulled 1 Corinthians, New Testament in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Once again, I'll read that. It says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So one or the other, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest, so that those first two verses right there are concerning, are battling worldly thoughts. When a married couple just wants to give up on each other, and one wants to put the other away, or one wants to leave the other, it's like this is not what God intended in the first place. This is not the way it should end up. Verse 11, but verse 10. I'm sorry. And unto the married, I command. Yet not I, but the Lord. So when it says, yet not I, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. So I command, yet not I, but this is a commandment of the Lord, he's telling us. It says, let not the wife depart from her husband. If she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So there are differences and separations that happen once in a while for what he's bringing out here. But it says, let or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife, but to the rest I speak I, not the Lord. So Paul is kind of at putting his two cents in here, but in good conscience toward the Most High. He says, if any brother, this is verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So that's a good something to think about. It's like, just because she doesn't believe, don't, you know, and we see this a lot in the world, don't, that doesn't mean you have to put her away, because she can eventually be won over. So get, you know, you really love her, you just so quick to give up on her. Don't be so quick to give up on her. You don't have to put her away for that reason, because in time she can be won over. In time she could eventually, you know, start to follow you. And it's not necessarily something that applies to me and my wife, because she's not an unbeliever. She's, you know, my wife believes in the truth. It's just that I have lacked personally in dealing with her. It says, let him not put her away. Verse 13, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So it's vice versa. It goes both ways. You may have a sister in the truth that has a husband that doesn't believe. Well, just because, you don't have to necessarily leave him just because he doesn't believe. You know, get, you know, maybe he'll eventually come around. Maybe he'll eventually be won over. Don't be so quick to give up just because he doesn't believe right away. So verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Meaning the unbelieving husband is saved or cleansed by the wife. And in time, he may be won over. So it's not necessarily, it's not a necessary thing to just put him away or leave him or him put her away, vice versa, right away. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Okay. So the unbelieving husband is basically saved by the wife until he's won over, and the unbelieving wife is saved by the husband until she's won over. So my next scripture, Ecclesiasticus chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And I'll read this real quick. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha chapter 30, starting at verse 1. It says, he that loveth his son causeth him oft, meaning often, to feel the rod, that he may have joy of him in the end. So you love your sons, you discipline them. It's not always talking about physical, but also that. There's times where we need to be dealt with on a physical level to be reminded to respect our parents, right? So if you love your, so what it's saying here one more time, he that loveth his son, if you love your son, you cause him often to feel the rod, because you love him, because you're concerned about him, not because you enjoy beating him, you know what I mean? But because you want to correct your son as much as you can, so that your son grows up knowing the right way of doing things, so that he stays on the right path. You don't deal with him at all and watch where he ends up. The world tells you that. Okay, verse 2. And in the world, I would have to say real quick, there are people that in this world that choose to do it the, you know, thing, use ways that I would say they're not so effective. Like, people think that beating your child is abuse. So you use tactics like timeout. And we know that doesn't always, it doesn't really work at all. It's not an effective method. You know, it comes a time where you put them in timeout and they're still cussing you out. Okay, then what? You know what I'm saying? When you got to take things to the extreme, then what? But anyway, it says, verse 2, he that chastiseth his son shall have joy in him and shall rejoice of him among his acquaintance. So you won't be, the more you deal with your children, the less ashamed they'll, or the less stupid they'll make you look when they're older. It's like other people see like how you raise your children. And they, and the lack of discipline that they may have because you decided not to deal with them as they were growing up. This is coming, this is from the eye, you know, this is in God's eyes. This is what he tells us the way the way fatherhood should be. Deal with your children. Correct them constantly. Teach them. And I use this to correct myself because I've not always done that in fear that they would one day resent me, that they would one day hate me, maybe because, or they would one day hold a grudge against me or have something against me because of all of the correction, because they might look at it a different way. They might look at it as, I did that because I hate them. And some children do look at their parents like that. Maybe some parents take it too far. I don't know. But if I had, you know, done what the way the Lord told me to do it, you know, I think they would be better off. They're not so bad now, but I have lacked in these areas. So these scriptures are good for me to, you know, a good reminder for me personally. To, you know, this is how you be a better father. You start dealing with your children. And this is good advice, you know, for others because of what I've experienced. Like, okay, this is where I failed, and this was the consequence. So in order for you to, the next person I pass this on to avoid that, this is what you do. Make sure you got these young ones coming up. Stay on top of them and correct them all the time. It says, he that loveth his son, cause him oft to feel the rod, back in verse 1. We'll continue on in verse 3. It says, he that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy. Let's think about that for a second. He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy. And before his friends, he shall read. Okay, let's just concentrate on that first part for a second. He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy. So it's like your enemies are, dang, he's teaching his son. He's going to be just like, why? Because when you teach your son, you're teaching your son to be strong just like you. So you have enemies that grieve you because you're such a worthy adversary, if you want to call it. And you teach your son, your son is basically going to pick up where you left off. And the enemy knows that. That's what that means, basically. You're getting them ready to take your place because none of us live forever. And it says, before his friends, he shall rejoice of him. So you deal with your children in righteousness, and you don't make the mistake of not dealing with them, or you don't make the mistake of, I guess, getting too caught up in yourself and not dealing with them and spend enough time with them and doing enough correcting, then, you know, it's going to be the opposite of that. It says, before his friends, he shall rejoice of him. So you do it this way, you have a reason to brag about your own kids. I'll just go ahead and say it. And you're like, look, yeah, man, I stayed on top of them. Like, you got people complimenting you, like, man, your kids are really well, you know, disciplined, and really, you know what I'm saying, you did a good job with them. But I'll read on verse 4. It says, though his father die, yet he is as though he were not dead. Again, what I mentioned before, your children are eventually going to take your place. What kind of example are they going to set? Are they going to continue where you left off, or did you not deal with them to the point where they go a completely different direction? All right? It says, for he hath left one behind him that is like himself. Like father, like son. A lot of people in the world say like father, like son. You know, that's what you prefer, and that's what God prefers, because we're reading it out of the scripture.
You have seen me. You have seen my father.
I'm sorry, I barely caught what you said. You just interjected.
My bad. I'm sorry. My bad. Christ said, "If you have seen me, you have seen my father."
All right. Excellent point you added there, Gamar. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Like father, like son. Exactly.
Yeah. Most days.
So, if I can wrap this up real quick. It says, while he lived, he saw and rejoiced in him. That's verse 5. And when he died, he was not sorrowful. It says, verse 6, it says, he left behind him an avenger against his enemies, and one that shall requite kindness to his friends. You know what I mean? The one that was supposed to take your place, you know, he's filling them shoes. He's continuing where you left off. And you know, what more could you ask for if you do your job? The next one I pulled, Ecclesiasticus and the Apocrypha. Actually, that's not the very next one. Let me see here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter in the New Testament chapter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So when you're praying, you want the Lord, you're hoping the Lord is listening to you, is even paying you any mind. You know what I mean? It says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So dwell with them according to knowledge, meaning teach them. Teach them. Don't forsake or neglect that from her, that she's supposed to be being taught. That's how you honor your wife. You teach her. That's how you honor the gift that the Most High gave you. Teach her. You deal with her. You know what I'm saying? But let's see the next scripture here. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'll go there next. And verse 2. Mark chapter 10 in the New Testament, starting at verse 2. I'm going to read down a few verses. It says, and the Pharisees came unto him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? So this is a question from the Pharisees to Christ, I believe. And it says, and he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me read the entire verse. Excuse me. And the Pharisees came unto him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? So they're basically doing this not because they really want to know this. They're doing this to basically play games with Christ. But Christ has an answer for him anyway. Verse 3 says, and he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. That is what the Pharisees said. Well, Moses said to do this, and that is in the law. And the Pharisees were all about the law. So, as far in word, they were all about the law. So, you know, the Pharisees basically came back and said, well, Moses said, write a bill of divorce and put her away. Verse 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. So Christ came back and said, the only reason that Moses even said that, push came to shove, and it was just what people in society today call irreconcilable differences, I believe. Like, these two are just not going to, okay, if that's where it's at, then you know what? Okay. That's why, you know, he basically, Christ is saying, this is why Moses wrote that. Said, if nothing else, then do that. Verse 6, it says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So this is what it was meant to be from the beginning. It wasn't meant like what God put together, or what God brought together, let no man put asunder. You know what I mean? Or actually, I just jumped ahead. It actually says that later on here. But I'll finish up verse 7. It says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Verse 8, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. So not that they've physically morphed together as one person, because this is what they try to, this is what people try to teach in the so-called Trinity. The Christian belief of the Trinity, like, you know, now God and Christ is in the Spirit, it's all one being. But that's not what it's saying. That doesn't make any sense, that a man and a wife could be physically joined together like that. So obviously that's not what it's talking about. But you treat your wife as you would, and take care of your wife as you would take care of yourself, is what it's saying. And you're in agreement, as if it's you're both one mind. You're in agreement. That's what that's saying. So verse 9, it says, what therefore God hath joined together, and this is where I jumped ahead and mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I should just wait until I get to the verse. It says, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So this is a union that God brought together. Who are you to separate that? Who are you, you know, if you just do things in the eyes of in God's eyes, it should be successful. There shouldn't be any problems. There shouldn't be any hiccups. If you do it God's way, it's the for sure successful way of being successful. With the perseverance and the success and everything. It says, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. What it was meant to be from the beginning. It wasn't meant to be, you know, things weren't meant to go down that way. As far as having to write a bill of divorce and put her away. If you did it, if you taught her the way you should have taught her and dealt with the way you should have dealt with, then this shouldn't be a necessary thing to do. Okay. It was never meant that the man and the wife should be separate. This is something that God brought together. It says, let no man put asunder. So it wasn't meant to go down like that. So let me pull my next one. I got to get going actually here. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Again, this is all in a way a head of a household. The man is supposed to deal with his wife and his children in righteousness. He's supposed to raise his children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is something that, you know, again, I've lacked, and this is the correction. Okay, get back on point. You know, you still have somewhat the respect of your children. Continue to deal with them in righteousness. You know, continue to give them these scriptures. Continue to show them the ways of the Heavenly Father and how it is beneficial and how it will save their lives. Okay? Don't give up on them. If you love them, don't give up on yourself. If you give up on yourself, you're giving up on your family. Okay? So, last verse here. I actually got to go ahead and get out of here. I got to head to work myself. But Ecclesiastes chapter 30, verses 7 through 13. I'm going to have to kind of skim through this as I get going here. It says, he that maketh too much of his son shall bind up his wounds, and his bowels will be troubled at every cry. an horse not broken becometh headstrong, and a child left to himself will be willful. So right there, verse 8, anybody knows anything about breaking a horse so a horse will follow your commands and do what you tell it to do? You got to break the spirit of that horse in order to get that horse to do that. And a horse in its natural state is not going to do what it's commanded. It's not going to be useful because you can't get it to do anything you want it to do. You can't get it to follow. Same thing with your children. A child left to himself in his natural state, not being corrected, not being dealt with, will be willful. Willful meaning it'll do whatever it wants to do, whatever it feels. Its natural state will follow its own emotions and its own instincts and just do what it wants to do. Verse 9 says, cocker thy child and he shall make thee afraid. Play with him and he will bring thee to heaviness. Okay, I just got a text here. I got you, Mashaba. Yep, it is 10:30. So I've been given a prompt to go ahead and end the show, but if y'all want to continue reading that verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 30, verse 7 through 13, that was pretty much the end of mine. That's an example, again, of examining myself according to what the scriptures say. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. So, you know, that's just an example of how I correct myself in the eyes of the Father as far as where I may be lacking or what I need to be reminded of. But with that, I don't know if we're still on the air or not, but if we are, I'll pass it on to the brother Gamar, as I have to go ahead and get out of here and head to my job. So, shalom, everybody.
And with that being said, that is essentially a synopsis of what the Great Eight is about. And why we do the Great Eight, per se, is to help us as men to sit there and bring our thoughts into the subjection. Matter of fact, let me get the scripture because I keep getting it. It's Corinthians 10. Let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says this. Actually, yeah, I'm going to start at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6. Let's go through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Meaning, yes, even though we have these bodies, human bodies, and, you know, things of that nature and whatnot, we got to understand that weapons of our warfare, you know, let me just keep reading. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Break down that part right there. When the scripture talks about weapons of the warfare are carnival, mighty through God. So they're pulling down a stronghold. It says mighty through God. We got to understand that it's really referring to scripture. And I say that all due to the fact that, without the scriptures, we have nothing to really fight our own thoughts. But the scriptures, we have no power of ourselves or anything of that nature. I'm saying. At all. I thought it says casting down imaginations. Imagination is the thing that is see the definition. So it's all clear. Imagination. Definition of imagination. Creative ability. It says a creation of the mind. Right? So, in the definition, casting down a creation of the mind. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So anything that is created with our own mind and our thought process that goes against the Most High and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And using this right here, this way the description is right here, sit there and paint the picture. We're casting down every creation of the human mind and said nature, right? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought, the key word is a thought, to the obedience of Christ. Because even in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it even says that the mind is desperately wicked and deceitful, right? Above all things. Therefore, the mind, the heart, number, it says the heart is deceivable above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm saying, in this case, it's really referring to the mind. That's where your thoughts come from. Then read now towards verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 10. And have any readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But to sit there and summarize all this and keep it very simple, because there is simplicity in Christ. The reason and the point of doing the grade A is to sit there and train ourselves to bring our thoughts and our minds and our own wicked way of thinking, our negative imagination of thinking, to the obedience of the scriptures. Saying the obedience of how the Most High wants to be done. With that being said, on behalf of the brothers here in Albuquerque, Dav Gamalya Allah, Shaba, Aymar, Nelathan, Barakwa, Jalama, Lakawa, and the young brother Yeshaya, who is currently in San Antonio helping the brothers out there, I would like to say shalom, good evening. Bye. And by all means, for yourself, please institute this practice about your day and see what a world of a difference that it makes for you. I'm saying. But until next time, I believe the next blog talk that we have is going to be Thursday at around 8:30. So long.